Today, the sermon title is The Fullness of Time. So in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, you don't need to go there, it says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done." There are those that think that God has been resting ever since that time. And if, as if God winds people up and he just turns them loose and they're just going here and there, and he's just sitting on heaven and up in heaven on his throne, he's just watching everything that goes on, that's going on this earth, and nothing could be further from the truth. Since the time of creation, God has been working, and he is always working to orchestrate his will in our lives and the lives around us. In John 15, 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." In Romans 8, 28, "All things work together for good." God is working at all times. In Philippians 1, 6, it says that he is going to complete the work that he has started in you. That he is going to finish that work that he has started in you since you have come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And what is that work today? It's to transform you into the very image of Jesus, where your thoughts, your actions, your desires, your motivations are all one with Jesus and our Heavenly Father. Are we there yet? We'd have to say, no, I'm not quite there yet. But the Lord is continuing to do that work in everything that is going on in your life, that all those things that he is doing, all those things that he is orchestrating, he is doing it for a purpose, and that purpose is to transform you into the image of Jesus. Every day, God is working in your life to make that happen. No, we do not have a distant God, but we have a God that is near and a God that is always working. We see that in our prayer life. God is always working. But sometimes we say, "I don't see God doing anything." Sometimes we can say, "God, where are you at in this situation? I have been praying and I've been praying and I've been praying and I don't see any answer." For us to know from the Word of God, because that's what we rely on, that's what we stand on, that's what we promote, is the Word of God, that right now that God is working on your behalf. In that prayer request that you have, in that prayer that you've been praying for, that God is orchestrating, he is working on your behalf right now for that thing to be done. But it has to be done in God's will, in God's timing, not your will. If you turn with me to Hebrews 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. We go to Hebrews 11 and it's the heroes of faith, or referred to as the heroes of faith many times. In chapter 11, we go over to verse 13. In verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly, if they had been called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." We back up and he says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off." Do you see that answer to that prayer? Our faith is faith from afar. Our faith is not faith up close. Faith up close is not faith. I see it, I believe it. God, if it be your will, I will pray it into my hands. What does this have to do with Christmas? This has everything to do with Christmas. Things do not happen in this world until it is the fullness of time, the fullness of God's timing. Look at the Christmas story in Galatians chapter 4. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. You don't usually go there for a Christmas story, but we are today. So Galatians chapter 4, and it says in verse 4, Galatians 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time had come," I'll say that again. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that they might receive the adoption as the sons and daughters of God. And because you are a son and a daughter, God has sent forth the Spirit of the Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter. And if a son and a daughter, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. The word says that we are joint heirs with Jesus today. When the fullness of time had come. Now turn with me to Malachi. Malachi is the last chapter before Matthew in the Old Testament. So go back with me to Malachi. It's right before Matthew. And we go to Malachi. And I want you to go to chapter 3. In chapter 3 of Malachi, verse 1, it says, Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. For even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, and they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Verse 1 again. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. The messenger to prepare the way would be John the Baptist. And the Lord that comes to the temple is the Lord Jesus himself. From here, it is just a few pages over to the book of Matthew. Turn with me. Just go over. How many pages in your Bible does it take for you to get to the book of Matthew? In that short period, whether it's a one page, two page, or three pages, is 400 years of silence from God. Think about that just for a moment. This testimony, this witness, this prophecy concerning John the Baptist and concerning Jesus was given, and then there was nothing but 400 years of silence. Almost twice as long as what the United States has been in existence. To put it in perspective, almost twice as long as what America has been in existence. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 1, thinking at the same time, 400 years of silence. Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, we're going to read verses 5 through 17. In verse 5 of Luke chapter 1, it says, There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division, I won't be able to say that right, Abiha. His wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. 400 years of silence. They didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were walking by faith for 400 years. And listen to what it says there. They walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. So, I mean, this all happened. They didn't live 400 years, but when it got to them, however many years that they were aged at that time, we could look it up and find it, but they had walked blameless and faithful, so there was a remnant in the nation of Israel that was waiting for the coming of the Lord. Is there a remnant in the United States of America today that is waiting for the second advent? And everyone in this room should say, Amen. Advent means His coming. He's come once. He's going to come again. Are you ready for that second coming? And during that time, we need to be walking faithfully, blamelessly in our relationship with the Lord Jesus, saying, Come, Lord Jesus, I am ready. I am ready to leave this place. I'm ready to go to a continuing city. I'm ready to go to heaven. I don't want to be here no more. Hallelujah. So here we have in this scripture that they were walking before the Lord in verse 7, but they had no child. Children in this day and age was everything. If you did not have a child, they looked down upon you that something was wrong spiritually in your life. Why is God not blessing you? A woman's worth was what she could bear as children and what she could do for the household. So you could see that the other ladies in the community would look down upon Elizabeth. It says, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in their years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And when an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for what? Your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." 400 years of silence. 400 years of God orchestrating his will to be done. But through it all, Zacharias, his wife Elizabeth, remained faithful. Through the Spirit, has God promised you something? An answer to a prayer. And are you remaining faithful to that prayer that you have given over to the Lord and the answer that you have received, even though you have not seen it come in fulfillment? Let me give you a simple definition of waiting on God. Not doing anything outside of God's will. That is a very simple definition of waiting on God, is that while I am waiting on God, which is an attitude of prayer and worship, that I am waiting on the Lord in prayer, in worship, I am not going to take matters into my own hands again. I am not going to do anything outside of God's will. I will wait in the attitude of prayer and praise. I will not do anything outside of His will, meaning I do not pull back in my control and try to do something about it. I wait. Zacharias waited. He and Elizabeth would have that child. His name would be John, and praise be to God, he would fulfill one of the last old time prophecies in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, because he would go before Jesus, because he would be John the Baptist. He would be the messenger who would prepare the way. All would happen when? When would this happen? In the fullness of time. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The Christ child would be born in Bethlehem. And the word Bethlehem, which many of you already know, it means the house of bread, because they produced the bread there for the temple. But not only because of that, that it was prophesied in the book of Micah, but also because Jesus would be the bread of life. The Christ child would be born in no other place, and he would only be born in the fullness of time. The distance they had to travel, they say that by crow flying, it would be 70-some miles, but by walking, it would be like 90 miles. And the theologians said, well, they probably made it in 4 or 5 days. You could tell that the theologians were old white men that had never been pregnant in their whole entire life. Because if I was taking my wife on a 90-mile trip, either on a donkey or we had to walk and it was rocky, I would think that I'm going to take at least 10 days to get there because she's ready to give birth. But Mary wasn't going to give birth on the road. Mary wasn't going to give birth in another town because the fullness of time, that baby would be born in Bethlehem, the house of David, because he is the house of bread, because he is the bread of life. Only in the fullness of time. It would not be that she would deliver that child premature. She wasn't going to deliver it in another town. She was going to deliver it in Bethlehem, because thus saith the Lord, his will be done. Caesar thought he was doing what? He wanted to get more census. He wanted to get more tax money. God orchestrates the evil leaders of our world to do his will. All the way through the Old Testament, he used those leaders. Daniel says, I raise them up and I take them back down. Whatever God wants to do. I can tell you today, listen to me, I can tell you today exactly to the day, to the hour, and to the minute, and to the second when Jesus is going to come. And everybody says, well, my scripture tells me not to listen to a preacher that would say such a thing, because the scripture says no one knows the day nor the hour nor the angels, but only my Father knows the day. But I can tell you today exactly when it's going to happen. Turn with me to 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Don't leave me yet. Don't get mad and walk out. I'm not going to lead you astray. 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we start at verse 1. Beloved, I do not write to you this second epistle in which both of you, which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers have fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they will willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved at the same word, are preserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Let me add and go back to verse 10. Now I'm going to add five little words. And I'm going to read it this way. But the day of the Lord will come in the fullness of time as a thief in the night. See, that's the day, the hour, the second that the Lord Jesus is going to come back, is in the fullness of time. When that time is full, when God says it's time to bring my children home, we're going to be gone from this place in an instant. In your prayer life today, right now, are you willing to wait till the fullness of time? I will wait. I won't take things back into my control. Let me give you an example, young people. If God is telling you through that still and quiet voice that there is someone out there for you, whether you're a lady or a young man, you do not run out, find someone, and move in with them. Because you're not waiting on God, you're pulling it back into your own control, and the time is not in the time of God's fullness of time. Allow God to bring it into your hands, not where you're stepping out of the will of God and you're doing something that is in your own control. Because when you do that, you're taking yourself out of a position to be what? Blessed by God. Remember all the sermons we talked about that? You always want to position yourself to be blessed by God. In my prayer life, how I make my choices, how I make my decisions, what things I'm going to do in life. I need to position myself in my relationship with my Heavenly Father that I'm standing right under, directly under heaven, that I am doing God's will when He wants me to. So I am in a position in the fullness of time that He can bless me. I have to tell you something that'll make you chuckle. Carol's always had in her mind that she wanted to have a school. So she brings this up the other day. Not like we don't have enough going on. She says, I've always wanted to have a school. Even if it's just a place where homeschool kids can gather and they would be under the same roof and we can also teach them about the goodness of God and the love, how much that God loves them. I've wanted to always have my own school. I said, well, Carol, I said, well, who's going to run that school? Well, Jennifer. Jennifer can run that school. I said, okay. Okay, now we got Jennifer into this. Jennifer's going to run this school. I said, then, you know what? You're going to have payroll. And then, because you're doing something that's in the world, you're going to have to file taxes. Who's going to take care of that? Selena, she can take care of that. You just all become a part of the ministry at Crossroads Gospel Church. You feel that? And in my mind, it's like, well, we need to woe back here a little bit, old gal, because I don't know. We have always had that feeling. In my early days when I was young and I could still leap tall buildings with a single bound, I thought I'd like to have our own school and like to have our own nursing home. I'd like to take care of our people when they get older. Hang on to that prayer, Carol. These prayer cards. God will bring comfort and peace and answers in the fullness of time. These are the prayer cards. We just started this up not too long ago, and I keep them all gathered together, and they're on my desk at home, and I pray over them. This week, I pulled them out, and I just started reading through them. And you know what? There's some heart-wrenching things that are in here. People need comfort. They need peace. And every one of them, we need to wait on God for God's fullness of time. But I believe that God will make that vision happen. If God has given you a vision of what He is going to do in your life or He is going to do in somebody else's life, then you never let go of it. You hang on to it. Carol and I have been in ministry for over 35 years. And always in 35 years, we thought about building a church. It took 35 years, but you know what? In God's fullness of time, you're sitting in that new church today. Amen. That's how good our God is. And we praise Him forevermore. Father, we just come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we just thank You for Your goodness. And we thank You for Your ability to make all things happen. You told Mary through an angel that nothing is impossible for God. That nothing is impossible for You. And we today are going to believe the impossible. And every one of these prayer cards and every one of the prayers that the saints here today have in their heart and in their life. We ask that, Father, as we leave this place, that You would bless us, You would keep us. I pray over this congregation that You would open the windows of heaven and pour out Your blessings upon each and every one of them. And we today give You all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. God bless you all. What a wonderful day.